Peace to greetings, much love, much joy, much peace from the island of Catalina. We have had a good deal of fruit from the 10 a.m. meditations, so let's continue them every morning at 10 a.m. It has been providing a good rallying point for our students who are scattered mostly throughout the Western United States. Now, some in Maui, others on the islands, and as far out as Norway. And at 10 a.m., regardless of what time it may be in your area, we all join together, uniting in the spirit as one. Our subject up to now has been God is not in the atom, but before this class is over, we will have a new subject, and probably the subject of our meditations for the next month will be given to us sometime during this class. We are directed now to the Old Testament, the second book of Kings, chapter 2. There is a mystery here about the resurrection, and we shall look at it now as a guide to our own rebirth. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, know ye not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And so they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went out on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. I'm going to pause here and point something out. If thou see me when I am taken from thee. In other words, if Elisha does not lose sight of I am. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. They were parted asunder in the appearance world. And Elisha was holding on to, I am. Do you understand that? And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over. Now we're going on to 2 Kings, but this is now going to be in chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 20 and 21. And Elisha died. All this time has passed, and now Elisha died. And they turned him, they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. We have Elisha buried. There is an invasion. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. And now we come to the book of Luke. The 24th chapter. It is the first day of the week. Early in the morning. And the women have come to the sepulchre of Jesus Christ. Bringing spices. Which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away. And they entered. And they found not the body of Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereof, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, that is, the two men said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? I would like you to ponder that phrase. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Just rest with it for a moment. From the Old and the New Testaments, we are seeing out-of-the-body experiences of Elijah, Elisha, and Christ Jesus. And in these out-of-the-body experiences is the mystery of life and the solution to all that we seek. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Now imagine for a moment that you are standing on a stage. In front of you is a vast, empty canvas waiting for you to paint pictures on it. Because of the vastness of the canvas, you're using an electric spray gun. You've got all colors of paint in cans. You can do anything you want. You can fill the entire canvas with scene after scene in any way that you wish. And let's say for our first painting, we're going to do a pastoral scene. So you've got all your cans of paint ready now. Put them into the gun, and you're going to paint a roadway straight through the canvas. And you spray the paint. Now on the side of the roadway, let's paint a whole line of spruce trees. And on the other side of the road, hemlock trees. And you do it very quickly because this is an electric spray can. Up on the ridge, let's put a line of eucalyptus trees. Let's put in gray mountains here and purple mountains there. And maybe the beginning of a sunrise, just soft in the distance. Let's put some animals in. Maybe a deer or two over there. Birds. Some people. You're filling this entire 100-foot canvas with your concept. And now you've finished. Nothing is moving. It is all still. Nothing in that painting has the power to do anything of its own. It is your mental creation, and from your mental creation, it became your physical creation. Of itself, it has no existence, no life. However beautiful it may be. Now let's go to the world mind. And let's see that it is doing precisely that. Its canvas is much broader. It doesn't paint 100 feet, it paints a world. Instead of cans of paint, it uses light. It uses vibrating atoms. And with these points of light vibrating, it paints stars, sunbeams, galaxies, planets, nations, cities. And it fills these cities with people, with nature, with the things of this world. And all this takes place within this world mind. It creates a world within its own mind, made of vibrating atoms. It is a complete dream world, made of a counterfeit dream fabric. And in it is born the human creature who calls it his world, his home, his habitation. It takes thousands of years to learn that the world within the world mind contains nothing of God. Nothing of God. My kingdom is not of this world. What world was the voice speaking about? Is there another that you know of? Can we ignore the fact that the voice was speaking of this world? This dream fabric, which is not my kingdom. What is missing in this world? God is missing. It presents one universal dream fabric, made of disconnected atomic vibrations. And what do we see in this universal counterfeit fabric? We see dying. We see disease. We see deterioration. We see forces that are not controlled by God. And we see life daily ebbing away into yesterday. We see multiplicities. We see many forms that are separated from each other. We see opposites. We see false powers. We see dream bodies, forms with nobody in them. All effects, all forms that are nothing but concepts of the world mind, forms that die, because all the forms are expressing the dream fabric that is not of God. We see a total absence of God's substance. Each illusion supporting the other in a pyramid of illusions. And somewhere in there we find a form that you call me. In that form, you try to live a lifespan in a changing, counterfeit fabric made of atoms not made by God. Can you see the futility of trying to take dominion over a dream? And while we live in this dream fabric, there is an unseen force at work, controlling our lives. It carries us along for a while. Eventually, it drops us. And in between, it governs us. It controls us. It lives us. And it riddles our lives with errors that we cannot understand, errors that seem to come without rhyme or reason from nowhere, in spite of our good intentions. And finally, that same mysterious force picks us up. Again, in spite of our will. And then it throws us on the scrap heap. Why seek ye the living among the dead? That was the secret of Jesus Christ. That was the secret of Elijah and Elisha. They did not ascend. Elisha was not caught up by a whirlwind. And Elisha was not in the bones in that grave. Those graves are symbols of the human body. There was no one in that grave. There is no one in the human body. No, the secret of Elijah and Elisha and Jesus was that they banished the illusion. They did not live in the dream fabric, seeking the living among the dead. They and many other prophets demonstrated that the way to fulfillment is not to seek dominion over this world. That is the decoy. No, it's not to struggle with a counterfeit fabric, but to awaken, to stop living in the dream. This is our last Easter in a counterfeit form. Resurrection is not hereafter. Resurrection is right now. God is not hereafter. Christ is not hereafter. Heaven is not hereafter. Nor is perfection hereafter. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Your perfect life, everything you seek, is now here. You will find it outside time, outside the atom, veiled by the replay of the senses, which is the universal dream. Why seek ye the living in the dream? Why seek ye the living in the dead counterfeit fabric of this world dream? We are all making one universal error. Let's stop it. That error is the belief that what we want is in this world. You see that? That must stop. What you want is not in this world. You will not find it in this world. You cannot find what you want in a dying dream fabric. And so you must stop trying to gain dominion over a dream. It is time to open our eyes and no longer reach out to phantoms for fulfillment. And it is right here with this realization that we see the eternal miracle, the sublime wisdom of the infinite invisible. Before you ask, I shall answer. It has all been prepared for you, waiting outside time. You cannot conquer this world. You cannot find peace and truth in this world. You cannot live in this world and know God aright. Humanhood is part of the dream fabric. Humanhood is separation from God. Humanhood is a counterfeit state of being. You can measure your spiritual integrity by your reaction to one vital truth. You cannot live in a human body and know God. Please close your eyes. You cannot live in a human body and know God. To know God, you must step out of the dream body. When the women came to the sepulchre to find Jesus, that sepulchre was a symbol of your human body. Christ was not found there. While in the tomb of flesh, you cannot find life. You can only find deadness. But I have found anew a living way, said Paul. What was that way? The flesh of Christ. Instead of your human flesh, the flesh of Christ, spiritual flesh. Instead of your material flesh, Christ takes away your sense of flesh to establish Christ's flesh, God's substance, which is totally independent of the false fabric of this world. And until you live in your invisible Christ flesh here and now, you are a prisoner of the world mind, and you are chained to a dream and to the wheel of reincarnation in that dream. Living your life in a counterfeit world, a counterfeit fabric, among the dead, and always seeking to find life. Elijah found his invisible Christ body. That is the meaning of he was taken up in a whirlwind. He was not living in the illusion of a human body. And that was the final revelation of that truth. So was Elisha. He was not in the bones they buried. Nor was Jesus in a tomb of flesh. Yes, they appeared to us in this world, but they were free. They did not let the world mind run their lives. They were not governed by material thought. And they did not fight the illusion. They did not seek fulfillment in the world. They did not live in bodies of human flesh. And because of it, they demonstrated the presence of God, where we in our world see only the absence of God. What is your function on this earth? There is only one function. It is your function to demonstrate the presence of God. If there is any other plan in your mind, it is part of a dream fabric, because all human plans, all human bodies, are unable to find the living among the dead. We have been given one way in which we can demonstrate the presence of God, and only one way. Divine wisdom says that you can only demonstrate the presence of God if you live in the kingdom of God on earth. And to do it, you must live in your invisible body of Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. I, your invisible Christ body, I am the only way that you can live here and now in the kingdom of God. And so we rest now in the living silence. We feel the presence in the midst of us, the presence of the living God. I step out of the tomb of dream the flesh. And each day, again and again, I will step out of the tomb of dream flesh. Until I am invisible. Until I do not walk the deadness, but in the life. Free. Independent of the world dream. Appearing in it, but not of it. This is my path. This is the Christ way. And this is the Christ life. I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the truth. I and my Father are one. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. I am the living child of the living God. I am risen. I am now. I am being. You will not find me in the tomb of flesh. Whoever finds the invisible Christ way is his way or her way. Is living the Easter experience now. The eternal Easter of the soul. I am life eternal, for I am the invisible Christ flesh, no other. I am perfect as my Father, and I walk in heaven with my Father, always. You feel the glory and the truth? Do you feel your true being? We are one. I am the Father, and the Father in me. There is no separation. There never was. There never can be. I shall never leave thee. I am your invisible Christ self. I could stay in this meditation for hours, and I'm sure that you will be turning back to this point in our classwork today, many times living in it, resting in it, knowing the deep inner peace of living silence. You will find it is a great healing influence. It will take you out of the dream world of good and of evil. You will release the Spirit of God, which is your being. It will open your soul. It will lift you here and now into the kingdom of God, which is your home, which is your infinite invisible body, and it will dissolve the deep dream fabric of the world mind. Rest in it often, until you can go in and out at will. Years ago, more than 100 years ago, in fact, in the early 1850s, before Charles Darwin announced his theory of evolution, an English philosopher named Herbert Spencer also suggested that man had developed from the lower animals. Spencer propounded another theory, and he announced this in a book which was titled First Principles. And he called it the theory of suppositional opposites. Spencer said that opposites are all suppositional. Or if we put it another way, that our human knowledge is always relative to something else. For example, when you say up, there is a tendency in your mind psychologically to think about up and down, because up is away from down, so you think of the suppositional opposite subconsciously when you mention one phase. When you say right, you could only say it because you're also thinking of wrong, good, bad, life, death, positive, negative, child, adult, male, female, rich, poor, joy, sorrow, peace, war. Now, in our human sense of life, we move, we live, we have our being in these opposites. And they're very real to us. We suppose that everything has an opposite. We suppose that truth has an opposite called error. And we suppose that both truth and error are real. But in spirit, this is not true. Truth has no opposite. Life has no opposite. Love, beauty, harmony, peace, abundance, they have no opposite in spirit, because God has no opposite. Infinite God is all. Infinite life is all. Infinite love is all. The opposites are suppositional. Now, Moses, long before Spencer, carried Spencer's theory much further. Moses dared to tell us that male and female are suppositional opposites, meaning they are concepts. Think of the boldness of that statement and the shock of it when you really understand it. Male and female are concepts or suppositional opposites. They do not exist in spirit. And so when Moses formed Eve out of Adam's rib, while Adam was asleep, Moses was really saying that there is no male or female. except in the world mind, which is the meaning of the Adam mind. And this is something that not even Spencer suspected. These opposites, male and female, exist only in the dream fabric of this world. Today, perhaps we can add a few observations to the theories of Spencer and to the earlier revelations of Moses. In our world, division is what appears. But we can see these suppositional opposites on a broader basis. Spirit, matter, divine, human, eternity, time, infinite, finite. One is real, and the other is supposed. Now, if you recall, several months ago we learned that birth and death are simultaneous, but stretched out in time, they appear as separate events. This is true about all human opposites. God did not create time. Time is a universal belief in the dream fabric, which is looking at eternity and is supposing its opposite called time. The world mind looks at spiritual man and supposes his opposite, called human. And then it divides human into man, woman. And then it divides life into birth, death. There is never a dying man or a dying woman. God is never dying. God is the selfhood of the dying man and the dying woman. God is the selfhood. But the world mind makes a suppositional opposite, an image in mind, and this is what we call a dying man or a dying woman. God is the invisible selfhood of every newborn baby. But you might as well face it, the baby is not God. The baby will grow into a dying man or a dying woman in the dream fabric. Because the baby itself is an image. It is a suppositional opposite in the world mind. And it appears to us first as a material child, and then it grows into a material adult in the dream fabric. But all that is present is divine spirit. Veiled by the mystery of time, which makes the illusion seem real. In your spiritual wholeness, your life is ever new, ever regenerating, ever rebirthing itself. In your spiritual wholeness, you live in infinite newness, life replacing life in a continuous expression of infinite idea. This replacement of life by life is wholeness. But when it is brought down through the world mind to human levels of perception and then stretched out into time, We see it as birth in 1917 and death in 1984. So it is with joy and sorrow, with beauty and ugliness, with wealth and with poverty. Joy is, and there is no opposite. And joy is ever birthing itself in new joy. But through the cosmic replay of the world mind, we see a fragment called human joy. Stretched out in time, we see its suppositional opposite called human sorrow. Where only whole spiritual joy is. There's a word for this. It's spelt B-I-F-U-R-C-A-T-E. Bifurcate, like a branch coming out of a root. A bifurcation. It branches out, it divides. This process of bifurcation veils the wholeness of spiritual infinity and presents itself to us as two opposites in time, where no opposites are. And it is in these supposed opposites that mankind has been trying to build a life. But the truth is that cosmic hypnotism is so powerful that our lifespans are really converted into the suppositional opposite, which is a death span. Until we awaken out of the dream fabric. There is an exercise here for you now, which is probably one of the most difficult exercises that will ever be presented to you in our work. It will appeal to you at first, and then you will say, oh, this is too difficult. It slows me down. I know this will be your reaction. And after many months, it may even still then be your reaction. But we are here to awaken from a dream fabric. And it is going to take effort, work. And in the end, less work than it will be to live and continue to seek the living among the dead. Now we're looking out, really with our eyes wide open. And if there's a window near you, just look out of it and look at what you see there. Out of my window, there's a roadway that curves. There are houses. There are trees. There's a patio. There are mountains. There's a sky. It's beautiful. If every day were this beautiful, we'd be satisfied. And you have to tell yourself, and I have to tell myself, that all this beauty, all of it, every tree, every mountain, the ocean, the sunrise, the beautiful colors, the birds, the vegetation, all that I see stops at my forehead. It is not outside my head. You must tell yourself that the world stops at your forehead. And you must do it with your eyes wide open. Now, when you walk out into that scene, you are walking in your forehead. You cannot walk down that road. You are walking down a road in your forehead. You cannot swim in that ocean. You are swimming in an ocean in your forehead. Everything you do in that scene, you will be doing in your forehead and thinking you will be doing it out there. Oh, I know nobody wants to do this every day. But I say unto you, do not seek the living among the dead. Do not go out into that dream fabric and think you're going to find life. It isn't out there. It's a fabric that you are dreaming. The world mind is dreaming this fabric in your head. God is not in it. Somebody can drown out there in that ocean that you think is out there. And right on that curving road, two cars can collide and someone can die. And there can be a fire in the house next door. Where? In your head. God is not in that scene. Don't put God there. It isn't true. And now comes the harder part. That whole scene is in your head. And so is your human body. Take your human body and see that it never gets outside your forehead. Do it now. And for this we may close our eyes. My human body never gets outside my forehead. It is a dream fabric in the world mind, echoed through the world mind in my mind. My human body is a dream fabric. When I awaken, it will not be here. And I must awaken by touching my soul faculty, by letting my soul know the truth that my brain cannot really know. It is my soul that will shatter the illusion of a form that never got outside of my brain, and of a world that never got beyond my forehead. And this I must do again and again and again every single day until it is doing itself, until it knows the truth without my even taking conscious thought about it. This is the most important meditation of my life at this point. I'm going to ask you to repeat this meditation tomorrow, 5 times. And if you're listening to this in the early morning, repeat it today, 5 times. If you're listening to it at night, repeat it once more before you go to bed. And don't let another day go by until you have done this meditation. And don't consider it finished unless you experience the truth of it. This entire world out there cannot go beyond my forehead, nor can my body. And then, when I look out at this world, I will know that every error in this world cannot go beyond my forehead. There is no body in this world existing out there, for no body can go beyond my forehead. time has made suppositional opposites of spiritual reality. These time images are not out there, they are in my brain. Time images present what is not God. Time images deny the omnipresence of God. We see these time images only in our inner thoughts. Nothing in this entire dream fabric is ever external. It is a cosmic replay taking place in the world mind, into which my mind is tuned. I am looking at animated atoms in my mind, calling them the objects of this dream world. My own thought has been counterfeiting motion, activity, and substance. My own thought has been counterfeiting my human sense of body. No one sees me. No one sees you. You see no one. All you can see is a thought form in your mind. And whoever sees you is not seeing you. They are seeing a thought form in their mind. Because you are not in that form. The forms you see exist in your consciousness. And whoever looks at you is seeing your form only in their consciousness. They never see a world outside their forehead either. Why seek ye the living among the dead?